All right, 6 o'clock on the dot. I know some people will be coming in from the prayer group pretty soon here, but we'll go ahead and start with prayer and get ourselves started. Father God, Lord, we praise you today. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful blessing, just giving us this opportunity to study your word and fall in love with it more and more each day, Lord, as we understand the beauty and the wonder of it all. Pray that we hold true to your word. Lord, we embrace the parts we can understand and accept the parts that we have yet to master and continue to meditate on your word each and every day as we worship you through the meditation of our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Well, we are finally going to get to chapter 11. I figure 3 or 4 weeks of this chapter and we'll be on to Abraham. A new section, Abraham. So that's, and we'll spend, I don't know how long it'll take us to get through Abraham. I make no promises. Abraham's an important character. Before we read Genesis chapter 11, the first part of Genesis chapter 11, I want to comment on a few verses in Genesis chapter 10. Three times it was at the conclusion that they were separated into their own languages. Genesis chapter 10. From these descendants, the people of the coast and the islands spread out into the lands according to their clans and their nations, each with its own language, their own tongue. Genesis 10:20. That's 31. Here it is. These are Ham's son by their clans according to their language and their nations. And Genesis 10:31. These are Shem's son according to their clans, according to their language in their own lands and their own nations. So if you're following the narrative so far, this is the lineage of Noah's children as they've gone forward and multiplied and their narrative, and it's and then the genealogies are used to carry on time. That's pretty common, right? Genealogies are used to carry on time, and and the narrative is going to pick up somewhere in the future. And all these things are happening. But when we start with Genesis chapter 11, I know you probably can't read that, but you can go to your own Bible. Of course, the app, for those of you who are new, the Laughlin Church does have an app, and I put all my study notes on the app. So if you go to the fill in the notes section on the app, you can see all my study notes, including bibliography, anything like that you might want. But if you go to Genesis chapter 11, 1 through 9, it begins. Now the whole earth used the same language and the same words. So you've got a chronological dislocation here, right? Genesis 10 took us way down the line as they walked off the boat and carried us way down the genealogy. And this story is picking up back in time. Exactly when is not exactly clear. You go look at the different, you know, your Bible might have a timeline in it. And that's because someone has made a choice of where to put it. But it's somewhere in, exactly in this region. We know around where it's at. But exactly where, a little unclear. But we've gone back in time. And so before the languages had divided. So three times in Genesis chapter 10, it says they had spoke their own languages. Now they have one language. Not only do they have one language, they have unifying thoughts. As it says, let's look at the, well, if you were to read this in the Hebrew, it says they have the same language and the same, which the version I have up here is the New American Standard. It says the same words. Other translations may say something like common speech or something like that. The word there in the Hebrew, see, there's two words right there in that first sentence of Genesis chapter 11. The same language, the word there is lips. They use the same lips. And then the same, the word following that is devar. Sorry, it took me a minute. Devar, which is... means words, but it can also mean meaning or thought or event or thing or idea or concept. Devar is a fun Hebrew word because it means a lot of different things. We often use it for word, but it can mean, what they're grabbing at here is they're speaking with the same lips, the same language, but they're not just using the same language, they're speaking all with the same cultural way of thinking. So it's, they're all using the same encyclopedia. They're all using the same pattern of thought. They're all, not even like here in the United States, we have like, generational differences that each generation thinks a little different. We have people from different areas in the United States. We're all speaking English, but if you're from the South, it sounds a little different than if you're from the North. And if you're from the East, it sounds a little different from your West. And you speak with a little different, and you think about things a little differently. And so what they're saying here is they speak with the same language and the same devar. They're saying they all speak with the same. There's not this division, even in the same language. So that's what's going on here. So back in time, speaking the same concept, same language. And so this sets the tone for the story that's going to be about how they get scattered. We don't want to scatter, but they're going to get scattered. And they were all unified. And they were unified and they were going east to land of Shinar. Let's just take a second and we'll read that whole passage and we'll come back to land of Shinar. Now the whole earth used the same language and the same words, and it came about as they journeyed east, and they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." I love that. That's actually... let us brick bricks in the Hebrew. Let us brick bricks and let us burn burn them. That's how Hebrew works. Let us brick bricks and burn them. And they use bricks for stone and they use tar for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build for yourself a city and tower and a tower whose tops will reach into the heavens. And let us make for ourselves a name. Otherwise, we will be shattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." And Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they all have the same language. And this is what began to do. And now nothing which they purpose to do will not be impossible for them. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language so that they will not understand one another's speech. So the Lord, that is Yahweh, scattered them abroad from there over the face of the earth, and they stopped building the city, and therefore its name was called Babel, because where the Lord's confused the language of the whole earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the whole earth. All right, so they're going to the Valley of Shinar. Now, we've already seen the Valley of Shinar in chapter 10. Who was building in the Valley of Shinar? Who was going to the Valley of Shinar in chapter 10? It was one person. Well, yeah. We did mention his name. We'll go back and look. Don't ask me. Where are you going to look for? Nimrod. There, I heard it. Nimrod. And remember, Nimrod's name means we will rebel. That's what his name means. They're obviously playing with something here. In the Hebrew, it means we will rebel. In Assyrian, it means something different. But in Hebrew, it means we will rebel. Well, Shinar, that's right. Because in the Valley of Shinar, we have a guy who named We Will Rebel builds a place called Babylon. And Babylon is not just a tower, it's a city. And so we're back there when Nimrod is. We don't know exactly when they started heading towards the Valley of Shinar, but we're back when Nimrod was. And they said to his neighbor, so let us brick bricks and burn with them burning. And we're going to use bricks like what people used to do with rocks, is basically what they're saying there. Which is means they've got this stuff called tar and people used to use the cement or mortar. The technological innovation is happening here. I mean, when you have you can build a pile of stones pretty high. But you know what the problem with stones are? Is they're all kinds of shapes. You got to either carve them if you can get them. You got to roll them over to wherever that. You got to go to the quarry. You get the stone. You got to get the tar. You got to build it up. You got this. You can get it pretty high. But there's a lot to them. There's a lot of work. So now they're able to produce these things that are same shape, same size. They've got this glue-like technology, so they're this material, so they're able to build things now. So that's something that's this technological innovation that's happening. These are smart people. And technology can be put to tov. Remember the word tov, meaning good, right? Technology can be a good thing. It can be put to good uses. However, it can also be meant, remember what the word for bad was? Raw, that's right. It can be used for raw purposes, bad purposes. And so they said, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose literally its head is in the heavens. Head is in the skies. And why? Why do they want to do this? Well, there's going to be a couple reasons. We'll talk about some of them. But it says right there, they want to make for themselves a name. They want to be remembered. We just read something that's easy. We're Ecclesiastes. We're going through Ecclesiastes on Sundays. We just read about this. We're going to be forgotten. They don't want to be forgotten. And they want to have a place that they're not scattered. Not scattered, which God has already commanded. Go forth, multiply. That was already commanded. And I said, we don't want to do that. We want to be one place. We want to be all set up here. Well, we want our tower to be in the heavens, which is obviously when you say heavens, they're talking God space. So Yahweh comes down and Yahweh comes down to see the city and the tower that the sons of Adam are building, and we're going to behold one people with one lip for all of them. This is what they have begun to do, and nothing will be cut off from them, inaccessible to them. Everything they devise will come to us. Let us, that actually draws us back to Genesis chapter 1. Who's the us? Well, there's a Trinitarian idea there, but it's also talking to the heavenly host, the Elohim. So he's talking to the spirit beings. Let us go down there. They're going to become in exile. They're in exile from Eden. And humanity has become like one of us, discerners of knowing Tov and Ra. And let us go down and make Babel. Babel is Babel of their language. So let us confuse what the word we use is confuse their language. So they will not hear their language. Can you imagine that happening? Like all of a sudden you were like, not only were you speaking one language, but you were all thinking the same way too. And then God confuses your language, but he also confuses like the way you're thinking. And that's, I mean, the building's going to stop, right? You can't work together. You can't work under these conditions. So, Yahweh babbled the lips of the land, and they scattered them upon the face. This is the first descent of Yahweh since Genesis. Well, chapter 2, right? He didn't come down during the flood. He flooded the earth and he was there and he made the covenant. But this is the first descent of Yahweh. Throughout the Hebrew Bible, there's going to be multiple times where it says God comes down to investigate, which is an interesting term or phrase because it's not like he's God, right? It's not like he doesn't know. But we're going to see this, you know, this time where God comes down. And we've seen God walk with Abraham, and he descended into Cain and Abel. That's the other one I was thinking of. Cain and Abel, he came down because the blood cries out to God. And so we now have this inversion, like the blood cries out, and we have this, here in this story, the tower is coming up, but God comes down. So you have this kind of this inversion where they're trying to build up, God actually is coming down. And so it's an interesting inversion, but the rebels aren't coming down. They're trying to get up, and which is different than like the rebel sons of God who came down. Now they're going back up. So notice in... before we get to verse 4, this breaking bricks sounds ominous, but it actually could be used, and it's kind of neutral in a way. It could be used in a lot of different ways, right? You can use bricks to make things like hospitals. I don't think God would have a problem with that. Food pantries, grocery stores, you know, there could be all kinds of things. But what they did, instead of they built it, the city builders, they built it for what? So they could have a name and they could reach the heavens themselves. They could be their own God. They could live in the space of God. So how many cities have been built so far in the scriptures? We're not talking about archaeologically or anything like that. In the scriptures, how many cities have been built so far? Do you guys remember the first city in the scriptures? Cain city. Cain has a city. Yeah, he built a city and it was a rejection. Remember, it was a kind of a subtle rejection of God's protection. He built a city and built walls to protect himself. This is really only the second city built in the scriptures. Were there other cities before the flood? Probably. But in the scriptures, this is really the second city that's really mentioned. Nimrod is the first centers on the kingdom of Babylon. And so he went to Syria and started building, and he built more cities. The first builder is Yahweh. He makes a place, an Eden place, and he split Adam and makes an Ezer. Remember what the word Ezer was? I'm going to keep using these words so that you help learn them. Ezer, that's the word helper or helpmate or deliver kind of message. This is the word for woman. But it's used, there's an archaeological term there. He says he'll make it, create it from the side. We translate it often as rib, but the word there in the Hebrew is, it's the only place in the whole scriptures that we would translate it as rib. Everywhere else we use that word, remember we talked about this, it's translated as side, like the side of a building or the side of a mountain or the side of the... It's usually an archaeological term, the side of a, so he builds women out of the side. So he fashions, I think the New American Standard uses fashions. And so city builders in Genesis start a pattern of people trying to provide their own deliverance, like God used women as a deliverance method, their own Eden gift instead of trusting God. When God says, when God says his first statement, "Behold, one people with the same language, now nothing they purpose will be impossible. Come, let us go down and confuse their language and start the scattering." I think I have that passage up there. Yeah, Genesis chapter 3. Yahweh says about Adam and Eve in exile, "Behold, the human has become like one of us, knowing Tov and Ra, and now that he does not stretch out his hand and take from the tree of life, Yahweh exiled him from the garden." So all of a sudden, the exiles from Eden, from Eden to Cain to Lamech to Noah to Ham to Nimrod, Yahweh has the same response he did to the very first statement. Let us stop them from doing whatever it is they're doing. They're kind of bookend rebellions here. As they first rebelled, and now there's this rebellion here. let us stop them. Why? Like we often say, look, why does God feel judged? When we look back at Genesis chapter 11, a lot of people are like, well, why would he do this? Is he challenged by God? But if we're reading in the context of what we've already read, he's stopping them because there's something that they're doing that is harmful. Something that they're doing that is not tov. Something they're doing that is wrong. And we miss that when we take it out of context. We often just like, well, let's grab this passage and let's talk about it. But let's not talk about anything that came before it or anything that comes after it. We just want to talk about this passage. And we're horrible about doing that. But when we read it in the context, God, when he first said, like in Genesis chapter 3, they rebelled. Since man has become one of us, like one of us, knowing tov and ra, must not reach out his hand and take from the tree. It would hurt him to do this, right? He can't live in this fallen state forever. And now we have in this rebellion, they can't keep doing this. Something, so if we read it in context, something is amiss. And there's something that he said, we've got to stop you guys from doing this. We've got to stop you guys from doing this. It's not just God is like, well, let's just go screw them up because we don't want them to be their own gods. Let them, there's something they're doing that's wrong. And you guys remember what happened in the story, right? He drove men out and stationed, in Genesis chapter 3, he drove men out and stationed a cherubim with a flaming sword, one of the Elohim, with a flaming sword and guarding the way of the tree of life. Banishes them to the east. Where's the Valley of Shinar? East. And they migrated east and they settled there. I think I actually even have that one up there. Oh, there it is right there. They settled there and all had one language. They valued in the east. There's these echoes of these earlier moments in Genesis 1 through 11. And you get the feeling that something is culminating here, this climatic event about this rebellion. And all had one language. Right. Well, actually, we will get to the design of the Tower of Babel and what all that means. We will get there. We might get started on it today. Might not. I'm looking at the clock. Maybe, maybe not. We might get started on that. We will definitely get to it next week. So we might get to it this week. We will definitely, we might get started on it this. We definitely won't get through all the Tower of Babel this week if we get to it. But we will talk about that. Because that is an excellent point. So hang on to that one, okay? Hang on to that thought. Yeah. So this is how everyone got these new languages because God has given them, and brothers are now divided because of the. Because of what Ham did. Remember, Ham had his little incidents with, looked at the nakedness of his father. Ham. Remember, and Canaan was cursed because of it. And we discussed what all the three options of how people have interpreted that over the years. And I told you which one I held to, using Leviticus chapter 18. And for you guys that are new, if I know some of this is out, you guys are like, I wasn't there for that. You can listen to all these on LaughlinChurch.com. All my old stuff is on there. So, Now they're divided, and the dream of Psalms 1 or Isaiah 11, all the nations coming together, it's further away now at this point. It's because we have not just Ham, but we also have this collective rebellion. Let us. There was a group of people that we have decided. And they kind of stand for a community that have stepped away. It's not, you know, we often think it's Genesis chapter, like when we talk about what's wrong with humanity, we often go back to Genesis chapter 3, right? But it's not just Genesis chapter 3. It's Genesis chapters, 3 through 11. We've got a lot of things happening here. We've got collective rebellions happening here. Yes, Exhibit A is Eden's story, but it's a chain reaction that kind of leads to Genesis chapter 11. If we talk about the fall, because I talk about Genesis chapter 3 more as being the failure than the fall. But if we're going to talk about the fall, we should include not just Genesis chapter 3, we should include Genesis chapter 3 through 11. That's the fall. It's now the whole section there is where we've kind of built ourselves up. And fallen. So the whole narrative, and we've got kind of different portrait of failure about man and woman and marriage that falls apart and Lamech, that whole city that falls apart. And then we have back to one man who makes a dumb decision to drink too much. And then we have a son who is sex hungry and become the dominant alpha male, and now you got Nimrod, the violent hunter who's looking at the human condition from all these angels and the Elohim, and you need to get all of them really to get the Bible, because the Bible is going to come back to all these different things over and over again. What's wrong with us? Well, let's read Genesis chapters 1 through 11. This is the whole, and this is why Genesis chapters 1 through 11 is probably my favorite section in the whole Bible. Everything goes back to this section when I read the scriptures. I end up always be back here. And as we read this, and we see like all these different pictures of rebellion, like one person, like individual to communal sins and rebellion, I think we got to keep that in mind as we talk about Jesus, right, and what he did for us, and what good news even means, right? If good news is going to be good news for everybody, it's not just the individual, it's also the community as well. The human condition. And I think that this kind of links all these different areas together, and Jesus is the good news for all these different areas. And I think sometimes we as Christians have done really, especially since, 1500s, we've done really good about focusing on the individual. We haven't done so good focusing on the communal aspects. As we became a society that's more individualistic. That's what is. Our society's that way, so of course our thinking patterns are going to go that way. But this is a comprehensive diagnosis of what's wrong with us. And the gospel needs to address all of that. Should I read this quote? Yeah, sure, I'll read this quote. Of course, you can see this quote small in more detail on the app with the fill-in notes. The best explanation is that these materials have been intentionally dischronologized, that's a big word, in order to arrange them thematically. The purpose of the arrangement is to highlight a spread of sin and a spread of grace. Theme throughout Genesis 1 through 11, which in turn is part of a larger creation, uncreation, recreation theme of the Pentateuch. The Table of Nation, in its current location, fills the divine commandment to be fruitful and multiply and fill the whole earth. And it's therefore predominantly a positive appraisal of the human dispersion. The sons of Noah were fulfilling the purpose by bringing God's blessing to fruition. Had it been placed after 11, 1 through 9, the Table of Nations of Genesis 10 would of necessity be transformed into a sign of God's judgment. As these two units stand, the division of humanity and the multiplicity of languages are evaluated both positively, Genesis chapter 10, and negatively in Genesis chapter 11. That comes from the New Cambridge Bible Commentary, which I thought was an interesting way of looking at it. Why is it seemingly out of place? Because it's looking at this both positive and negatively. I thought, wow, that's a lot. Now, division of language. One of the things I always like to do is go look at the cultures in the area that the Bible is found in the ancient Near East, and let's talk about other places, how they explain the division of languages. So, a Sumerian version. I'm going to read this. You can follow along with your in the app, or you can just close your eyes and listen, or whatever. This is an English translation of a Sumerian passage where their language is divided. In those days, there being no snakes, there being no scorpions, there being no hyenas, there being no lions, there being no dogs or wolves, there being no thing fearful or hair-raising, mankind had no opponents. In those days, bilingual Sumer, being the great country of priestly office in the whole compass of heaven and earth, the people entrusted to him could address Enlil, which is one of the deities in the Sumerian culture, Enlil. Verily, but in a single tongue. So they could address Enlil in one tongue. In those days, having periods of power, princely and royal periods of power, did Enki, another deity, fight. Did Enki, lord of abundance, lord of effective command, did the lord of intelligence, the country's clever one, lord of Eridu, estrange the tongues in their mouth, as many were put there, when the tongues of man, which were one. In Marker, the lord of Arata, quoted in, and so this is quoted in the context of Scriptural Volume 1, Canonical Composition of the Biblical World, Academic Publishers. So if you're interested in some pretty nerdy reading. I read another quote. This is from, I'm going to mispronounce it. It's a French name. André Lacouquet? Sure. The Captivity of Innocence is the book's name. In a problematic vein, the biblical author named the Babylonian claim of insistence of hubris and filled it with inter-ceremonially growing catalog kept since the beginning of history. Babel is the apex of arrogance. It involves the harnessing of all humanity for a single purpose. devised by a totalitarian regime with all the means it can muster. Genesis 11 contains an interesting textual scorn for the reputation of the Babylonians. They share not only one language, but also unifying concepts. All their energies are mobilized for construction of monuments to their own glory. Thus, they are likened of the materials used of Babylon and by the pharaohs for the erection of the pyramids. Bring the Bible to condemn equally the Babylonian and Egyptian megalomania. This is the symbol of the tower. It plays a major role. Babylon is actually, I think I have a map there. There we are. Babylon is actually an Akkadian word that's put into the Hebrew. It means in Akkadian, gate of the gods. Babil, the door or the doorway through which runs all traffic between the gods and humanity. And it could be so it's a word that means something similar to what we see Eden as, or the tabernacle, or the temple, place where God meets with the people. And so we're seeing a place that they said, this is where the gods meet with them. And the Hebrews are saying, no. This is something different. Remember, we're in conversation. The Bible is in conversation with a group of people. Babylon itself is found between the Euphrates and the Tigris, where it comes together. There's my thing, right up in there. The Tigris and Euphrates. This is the Euphrates. This is the Tigris that come out. The Babylon culminated during the reign of Hammurabi. There we are. In about 1795 to 1750 BC, who unified the entire Mesopotamia region under Babylonian rule. His reign followed a long decline until the Hittite uprising in 1595 BC. It was nearly 1,000 years later that Nebuchadnezzar led the Neo-Babylonian Empire to its resurgence in the late 600 BCs. And that'll be the ones who take the exiles into, Daniel. Take them into exile, it lasts less than a century because the Persians come in and take them out. And Cyrus the Great comes in and wipes them out, and then he lets the Israelites go home. I think Ezra and Nehemiah. The plain of Shinar actually refers to a huge river delta of the Tigris and Euphrates, which merged together running into the Gulf. So it's this whole area here is the plain of Shinar. Let me go back one. Yeah, this whole area here is the plain of Shinar. This area of the world, which is unfortunate because a lot of the history is being destroyed with all the wars and the Islamic people that are less than thrilled about anything that's part of that doesn't match up with, the Quran, and breaks my heart. And then, of course, you had other people come in and steal stuff from museums. And but this is the area of the world that has some of the oldest cities that we've ever found. In their idea, in the Akkadian Mesopotamian ideas, it was cities that were built from half humans, half gods, like Gilgamesh. That's how they viewed these people. Remember Gilgamesh, the seventh generation, Inamoraki, in the list of the Samaritan kings list, the seventh one goes to heaven, and he learned math and science and medicinal herbs and brickmaking, and he brought it back down so that this culture can assert dominance over the world. And this is their mythology. And so here we are. Babylon is seen as the gate of the gods, which leads us to the ziggurats, which I think is a great place for us to stop for the day. And we'll talk about the ziggurats next week, because there's no way I'm going to finish the ziggurats in 10 minutes. Just can't do it. I'm sorry. Do we have any questions so far? Yes, Iraq, Iran. So you've been there. You've been there, huh? No, no. It's, Well, we will talk about ziggurats next week, so that's... But remember, we've got to be thinking about gates of the gods, so... Any other questions? Nope. All right. Well, let's go ahead and pray. Father God, Lord, we praise you today, Lord. We thank you for this wonderful blessing and just gathering here. Lord, your scriptures are amazing, Lord, and the way they dialogue with these other cultures. Lord, I pray that we are so far removed from the lips and the devar. That there was originally written in, Lord, I pray that we can recapture some of that as we seek to understand your scriptures in their wholeness. As we worship you, in Jesus' name we pray, amen.